The Voices Dot Earth podcast series is brought to you by the Dot Earth Domain. In each episode, we shine a light on organizations and individuals who are part of the growing Dot Earth tribe, as well as those outside of our tribe who are all making our planet a better place. In this Voices Dot Earth podcast interview, we are speaking with Christopher Upton, who's the co-founder of ZeroDig.Earth, which is a not-for-profit social enterprise that's changing the future of food production with no dig growing. And Christopher, thanks for joining us today.
Morning, Matt. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, likewise. And let's jump right in. And if you don't mind, let's start at the top. Please give us a high-level overview of ZeroDig, the organization's history, mission, and all that good stuff.
Excellent. Well, the idea behind ZeroDig goes back a good few years now. I can't remember exactly when, but it's when I first saw a documentary about a market gardener in Quebec in Canada called Jean-Martin Fortier, who was growing vegetables without any digging. And it was a very strange thing to be watching if you think about it, but if you're a farmer or an agriculturalist, it kind of makes sense. But my background was really in conventional farming and I was very skeptical. But I sort of slept on it and then thinking, I wonder if this guy's right. Digging is such hard work. And I decided to give it a go. So I converted a small area of vegetable production, about 1,000 square feet, 100 square meters, into a no-dig system. And within 6 months, I was completely hooked. Because not only was there no need to dig, weed pressure was much reduced as well. And then one thing led to another. With the help of a microscope, I started trying to figure out what was happening under the ground with all the soil biology. So a couple more years of experimentation down the road, adapting the early techniques. I then had a pretty efficient monkey garden system in place that required very little labor. Well, there was, other than planting out seedlings and harvesting, weeding was certainly eliminated by the second year. Pest pressure right down there, pretty good. And it was pretty obvious that compared to my previous conventional approach, there was much more biodiversity, both in the soil and above ground. And organic matter was building up in the form of carbon. It was all getting pretty exciting. And ZeroDig came out of that, really. That was the beginning of ZeroDig farming. And as you said at the beginning, Matt, it's now a social enterprise based in the UK. And in summary, what we do is combine the latest understanding of soil biology with ecological thinking to transform agriculture from a climate change problem into a climate change solution. And in addition to that, you've got increases in biodiversity, great opportunities for commercial livelihoods in farming. So we're very excited about it all.
That's excellent, Christopher. Great stuff there. And I might modify my question a little bit because you answered, you know, why it's important to move away from traditional agricultural methods. But maybe let's look at it from a bigger picture. So obviously, this is good for the environment to do these new no-dig kind of approaches to agriculture. What is, I guess, the overall kind of global impact that could happen if most farmers, whether they're commercial farmers or smaller farmers, embraced this no-dig effort? Have you thought about that or have any numbers along those lines?
Yeah, no, that's a big part of the vision. Traditional farming does produce a lot of food. I mean, let's not mock it for doing that, but it does produce a lot of food. But we now know that there is a big environmental cost to producing that food, both in terms of CO2 emissions and ecosystem degradation. And it's especially true when we talk about soil. And that you've really got to go back into history. Plants have evolved over hundreds of millions of years, you know, 500, 600 millions of years. We're talking a big, big time span here, in a dependent relationship with the soil microorganisms, especially the bacteria and the fungi. And in fact, the very first plants, if you think about it, didn't have any roots at all. They had fungal mycelium. So imagine your field of wheat without any roots, but with mycelium dangling underneath it. But that's how it all started. So they thrive. I mean, they being plants thrive in a biologically rich and healthy soil. Now, conventional agriculture, by tilling the soil, and we've got really good at tilling these days, it just literally breaks apart this dependency by slicing and dicing all the microorganisms, the earthworms, the fungal mycelium. And it changes the biology completely from one that is dominated by a rich diversity of microorganisms, especially fungi, to one dominated by bacteria and a much narrower range of biology. And so once you've done that, you create a new dependency. You create dependency on artificial fertilizers and chemicals. And this new dependency in conventional agriculture slowly depletes the soil of life. And over time, this has a massive knock-on effect on the ecosystem of plants, insects, and animals. I mean, right now in the UK, 40% of our arable soils have no more earthworms. I mean, they are ecologically almost dead. So the soil is a good, is the place, you know, think of it as your gut in a way. So your gut biome, every time you eat some food, your gut biome will digest all the food and give you all the nutrients and the energy that you need. And the soil is the same to the plant. So the plant depends on this biome to feed itself. The plant can get the CO2 out of the air, and using sunlight as energy, it can create sugars. But that's pretty much all it can do on its own. And it passes those sugars, pumps out those sugars, almost up to 50% of those sugars are pumped out by the roots into the soil to feed the microorganisms. So it creates a kind of deal. I give you sugars, you give me everything else. And that's what happens. So the fungi and the bacteria and all the other microorganisms end up giving the plant all the other nutrients that it needs. And that's the relationship that breaks down with conventional agriculture. So what we do with Zero Dig is we try and think smart, and we focus on nurturing and feeding exactly the right type of soil biology that the plant needs. So get nature to do the work for us. So whereas in conventional agriculture, you hear people talking a lot about feeding the plant. You know, I've got to give the plant more fertilizer. I've got to give the plant more water. And protecting the plant, or I need to kill this bug, otherwise it's going to kill this plant. So there's a lot of talk about that. So what we say in Zero Dig, we say, no, the plant is quite happy by itself. Nature's got that bit sorted. What we have to do is create the supporting infrastructure, create the soil biology that the plant needs to feed itself and protect itself. And that way we use 300 million years of R&D from nature, which is great. So we're focusing on the soil biology. We're building up the soil carbon in contrast to conventional agriculture. So we're building in solutions instead of creating problems. And we're also avoiding the use of chemicals. So we're working on biodiversity. And finally, and this is another win-win, is soil biology creates very stable soils that will both store water, because they will, the water will infiltrate into those soils, and hold water. So there's a much lower risk of flooding and much greater availability of water during dry periods. So you've got at least three wins right there before we even start talking about the social impact.
Wow, that's pretty awesome stuff right there, and very, very, very enlightening. And what I like about you all too is that you have this vision, you have this expertise and knowledge, but you also bring it to life with your social enterprise franchise model for growers. I think you helped do that through the Zero Dig community. And if you don't mind, tell us about some of the stuff that you actually do for growers.
Yeah, we've got a network of growers who are just starting up, which is really quite exciting. I mean, the background really is, if you think about conventional farming, it's hard work. It's expensive. It's risky. It can be a real drudge. And there's lots of stories of farmers who find it really hard. I mean, just tilling the soil these days requires massive machinery, a huge investment in labor and fuel. Feeding the plants requires more and more fertilizer because our soils are getting more and more degraded. Protecting the plants requires more and more, ever more expensive chemicals and ever more dangerous, actually, chemicals. Now, with Zero Dig farming, you strip those costs out. So from a commercial point of view, the barriers to entry come right down, because there isn't such a huge capital investment. So you can really start thinking of a viable operation for a small farmer. But the transitioning can be complicated, because the problem is not so much the farming, the problem is more us and what we've got between the ears and how we've been taught about farming. So there's a transitioning phase that needs support, and that's where Zero Dig steps in. So you've got to plan carefully. You've got to think of the whole farm. You've got to think ecologically. You've got to be very observant. And these are skills that you need to kind of switch from what you had before to this new model. So we have an active support structure. We provide technical help in the form of initial planning and design. We understand where the farmers are coming from. Every site is going to be different, so it needs a specific investigation. You need to improve the soil biology. You need to monitor the soil biology so you've got to know what you've got, if you like. you've got to get in the right amount of biodiversity for pest management and take a whole farm approach. You've got to have a circular approach to organic matter, so you close the loop. There's lots and lots of things involved that we provide free of charge, actually, to our farmers. So we've started at the moment with the market gardening, and we're now moving on to helping them with their sales and their marketing. Because if you're a good grower, which is one skill set, you might find the sales and marketing a bit of a new challenge, and that's an important aspect. We want our farmers to be commercially successful at the end of the day. So it's not just about growing healthy food, it's growing healthy food that is profitable for small farmers.
That's great. Excellent, excellent stuff there. And also, your website is zerodig.earth. You are a .earth domain name user. Why did you choose .earth?
Yeah, we love .earth. You know, we're a social enterprise. We've got climate change and ecosystem collapse as two of our key motivators. And the .earth domain is pretty perfect, to be frank. You know, it embodies in a really nice way how we see climate action and ecosystem restoration. Think global, act local. A slogan that's been used in a lot of places, but is also true. So thinking globally is vital, as everything in nature is interconnected. We don't even know which molecule of oxygen we're breathing in was came from which plant anywhere in the world. We are part of this planet. We need to think globally. But in the day-to-day cut and thrust of life and farming, it's sometimes difficult to keep the global need and imperative in one's mind. But the .earth domain is a kind of gentle reminder to us of the bigger picture on a daily basis. And we really like it. It's been great for ZeroDig.
Oh, that's great. Love that feedback. Thank you, Christopher. Great insights there. And for our last question, what does the future hold? What's your future vision for ZeroDig?
Well, Matt, as I mentioned before, we started with market gardening, and certainly by the end of next year, 2021, we expect to have a well-proven and commercially successful model, not only in place, but with a track record of profitable operation. We'll have our 2 years under our belt of growing and selling vegetables, which is good. And we can then start to replicate that model to help even more small farmers become involved in commercial, profitable market gardening. And we've got a site in France, actually, that we're going to be starting next year, already booked up. So that there's quite exciting there. And increasing numbers of farmers comes increasing sales and marketing opportunities, which we currently plan to organize around a farmer cooperative. So we're quite keen to really get to grips with the sales and marketing for our farmers. And this will create much more commercial resilience. So we're going to need much more natural resilience as the climate changes. We're going to need also much more commercial resilience if you're a small farmer, which is quite good. So, you know, bearing in mind that nature is almost infinitely variable, so our farmers are going to be farming in infinitely variable locations. And so we really need to get them to share experiences and ideas. And this also they can do through a cooperative structure, which is good. And then next on the list, also starting next year, is arable. So growing crops on a field scale, where we believe we can have the most impact with regard to taking carbon out of the air and locking it into the soil. We're going to start with oats to produce oat milk. And one of the challenges that conventional arable farmers face in this is that they are almost always selling in a commoditized market. So price is the main product differentiator. How good a farmer you are is not always obvious. If you spend a lot of time and effort building up soils, you don't really get much recognition for it. So with the ZeroDig oat farmers, we'll benefit from a distribution and sales operation that we're putting in place. So when you grow oats as a ZeroDig farmer, you will plug into a sales and distribution network that will also give you a good price at the same time. Commercial model actually doesn't rely on the farmers getting special treatment from a price point of view, but it certainly opens up opportunities, and which makes it a plus side for the farmer if those opportunities come through. So I think, you know, we're seeing a growing network of like-minded farmers, all independent. They're not owned or programmed by ZeroDig. They're their own bosses and they run their own farms. They're commercially successful, but they do follow a set of principles related to soil biology and how we see farming moving forward in the future. So that's how we see it going. We're going to produce not only healthy food, what we need, but it's going to suck out CO2 out of the atmosphere. And we're going to be reporting on progress on that. We've done all the carbon baseline studies, so we know how much carbon is in the soil right now with these farms. And every year we're going to be doing the same thing and reporting on progress. Yeah, and so we're really looking forward to reversing the degradation of our farmlands and creating some happy, profitable farmers.
Excellent, Christopher. Really appreciate your time today. And before we sign off, is there anything else to add or anything we may have missed?
Well, it's been great talking to you. And I've got a sunny day in Oxford, and I'm looking forward to going out right now and doing a bit of work on some hedging.
Excellent, excellent. It's a perfect way to end this Voices.Earth podcast interview with Christopher Upton, who's the co-founder of ZeroDig.Earth, which, as you heard, is a not-for-profit social enterprise that's changing the future of food production with no-dig growing. And Christopher, thank you so much for your time today.
Great. Been a pleasure. Been a pleasure talking to you, Matt.
Thank you for listening to this segment. .Earth is a real live internet domain that anyone can use. Listeners can go to our Voices.Earth site to find out what others are doing with their unique .Earth domains. Through Voices.Earth, you can also secure your own .Earth domain name through all major registrars.